On FM, on DAB, and up to date on social media. We are Radio Newark.
Radio Newark.
Radio Newark Sport. Brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants. For all your fencing, decking, and DIY needs on Appleton Gate, Newark. Visit smithstimber.co.uk.
Tonight, we welcome the young footballers of Coddington School to Sport HQ. Find out what the twins have been up to and get all the Striders news. It's action-packed, it's all about you, and it is the renowned Radio Newark Sport. And as ever on a Tuesday, we begin with the young names making the news. And we start with congratulations to Olivia Mathias, bronze medal at the European Under-23 Triathlon Championships in Switzerland. And that was followed 2 days later by a silver in the mixed relay. Set of an amazing results for Olivia, well done. This one's going to go down well. Southwell's Lowe's Wong winning the primary school's football tournament with a penalty shootout victory over tonight's guest, Coddington. I'm sure they'll have something to say about that in a minute. And an 83rd minute goal from James Scott earned Farndon Colts a point at Kimberley in the Notts Youth League under-18 section. And Daniel Mountney Town collected a hat-trick in Newark Town's 4-0 victory at Manor. The Blues leapfrog Farndon into second place. And it was goals galore at the Newark Leisure Centre as RHP's under-15s played the league leaders Moor Green. The final score, 9-4 to the visitors. That's 28 goals in the last two Colts matches. The Green and White Sunday under-15 secured an excellent point at league leaders Lincoln United, sharing the four goals. And guess what? Alfie Price was on the score sheet again. The rugby weekend started under the Friday night floodlights at Kelham Road with a tasty senior youth match against those noisy neighbours. And the home side came out 19 points to 7 winners. But a poor Sunday for the club's under-14s with a 47 points to 39 defeat at Ilkeston. And it was round 3 of the Leicestershire Cyclocross League held at Presswood Airfield near Loughborough. And Florence Lisherman racing for Newark Castle Cycling Club finished 18th overall, but more importantly, the second female to finish in the youth under-16, under-14 category race. I'm Rick Bradley, he's Tony Smith, and today's news, Mr. Smith, is that Grantham Town have a new manager, and it's not Craig and Kirk.
Good.
So you can breathe again, you've wrote the programme. Grantham Town are delighted and excited to announce that Richard Thomas has been appointed the club's new manager with immediate effect. Richard, who lives in Nottingham, brings a wealth of experience with him at all levels and most recently as assistant manager to Kevin Nolan at Notts County. Richard will take charge of the side for tonight's Evo Stick fixture at Matlock Town with his first home match on Saturday when they welcome Hales Owen Town to the Mears for the FA Cup Trophy first qualifying round. And as part of Richard's arrival, and this one is great interest to Newark people, Dennis Rule has been promoted to the position of assistant manager. Dennis, obviously a familiar face to everybody in Newark and to all at the Gingerbreads, served under numerous managers over the years, including being part of the managerial team that won the Evo Stick Premier Division 1 South in 2012 and got to last season's playoff. So Grantham have moved quickly and it looks decisively.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, the guy Thomas has got experience at Meadow Lane, and we all know Dennis. Full congratulations to him. It's an absolute great appointment for him, and he's Grantham Town through and through, isn't he?
He is, indeed. And let's hope now they can just stabilise a little bit. They've already made a new signing today, and next Forest under-18 and Lincoln City under-18 player has joined them. So he's gone straight in there. He's looking for players. It looks like he means business.
Yeah, it's as I say, it's good that Grantham have moved swiftly. because I think it's important for the club that they don't hang about and dilly-dally over an appointment. So it's that's good, but it sounds like they've gone for experience and quality.
It does. Just talking about quality, Olivia Mathias.
Mm.
Bronze medal at the European Under-23 Triathlon, and then 2 days later, a silver in the mixed relay. What a weekend.
Yeah, she's always been a star of the future, hasn't she? I mean, ever since I used to write about her many moons ago, she used to be, you know, an absolute star for both the swimming and athletics. And
They amaze me, really, because she is another one. She's sort of in the Megan Williams category that you think have always been here, and then you look at the age and you think, no, they can't be.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, because they were such excellent sports people at a very early age, it does seem like they've been with us on the sporting scene forever. But then, as you say, you look at their ages and you think, oh, perhaps not.
Anyway, still to come, we've got the twins and we've got Graham Welsh. And do we find out a bit more on Grandad Watch?
I went to see little Imi today, and she was the perfect baby. She was asleep.
Are you going to go all soft on this baby and spend countless amounts of money like granddads are supposed to do?
No, I'm still from Yorkshire.
We will see. Conington Young Footballers came close, very close, to winning the Autumn Primary Schools Tournament. It was second prize, but second prize in the whole tournament is the one that's worth winning, because it's a visit to Radio Newark Sport. Now, this is the bit that's confused me absolutely, totally, because the gentleman, the sportsmaster that's brought them, is Mr. Head. But Mr. Head is not the head, is the assistant head.
Okay.
Are you keeping up? Because I've got totally confused on that. Anyway, Mr. Head's here. Welcome, Mr. Head, assistant head of Coddington's. Well, I'll put the mic up and try that one again.
Good evening. Thank you.
See, that's what happens, boys, when you don't put the mic up. You can't hear a word he says.
You can get the staff, but the rubbish.
Four of the boys have come tonight, and they're going to have a chat to us in a moment. A penalty shootout is no way to lose a competition, but I think you should and must be very proud of them.
No, they were brilliant. It's one of those days on Saturday. We went there with a view to doing the best we could, and we looked at the group games and we thought we'd have a go at that. And then just they got better and better through the day. And then, of course, a really tough penalty shootout for the semi-final. And then that huge final against Lowe's Wong. And they gave it their all. And I couldn't have asked for any more. They were brilliant all day. So they were fantastic.
And yes, I know we've got Tutor Eden, we've got Barnby Road, and they're the big two, if you like. And even though we're based at Barnby Road, I'll be quiet. It's lovely to see the other schools getting a look in. Highfields won the netball.
Absolutely.
Coddington in the final of the football. I just think it's wonderful for Newark Primary School Sports, Mr. Head, just before we talk to the boys, is a cracking organisation. I mean, even I played in the school's football knockout. Shut up, you! In the school's football knockout tournament, when I was at John Hunt, that's how old it is.
That can't have been easy under the gas lamps.
And first floodlit pitch in Bolton, mate. And it's still going, and those 14 schools. You know, it's brilliant.
It gets better and better every year. I mean, I've been involved now for quite a few years, both with Coddington and with Tutor Reid, and just every year that you see the schools take part and give it their absolute best. I mean, it's great. And the thing about Newark is it's a really close league generally. You have, you say, your big teams, but then a lot of the schools will give it the best to throw up some upsets here and there. And I think you never know when you go on those Saturdays at Flow Serve, you never know what you're going to come up with. And sometimes you get surprises, like hopefully we were the surprise package this year. And who knows, when we come back to the spring tournament, we're going for the win. So I think that's our aim for next time. And, you know, see if we can give these couple of big teams a good go.
Now, there was another young man at the side of you.
Yes.
But he's not here tonight, so shall we give him a mention?
That is this. Mr. Evans is our sports coach at school. He's fantastic. He spends a lot of time with the boys training. He brings the sporty element to the team, which is something I'm not particularly sporty. If you could see me now, I'm not the most sporty in shape. So he's the sporty one of the two, and I like to think I'm the more, you know, with the sheepskin jacket on, doing the tactical side of things.
That's mine and Tony's side as well. Wearing the jacket and standing out there. Yeah. So let's meet the boys. You've got four of them in tonight, and one of them he immediately becomes a star because he's still got his football kit on. He hasn't. Oh, he's going to go in stereo here. Yeah. He hasn't left his football kit. So let's. Our first guest tonight is
Finn.
So Finn.
Finn.
I'll get there. My grandson's Finn, so don't worry about it. Are you a Finlay or Finley?
Yeah, I'm Finley.
EY or AY?
EY.
Oh, yeah. Mine's an AY. You've still got your Coddington football. Have you changed since the weekend?
Yeah, I have.
You've changed since the weekend. That's not so bad then. Okay. When you went there on Saturday morning, was you going to win it? Was you going to enjoy it? Or was you just going to make the numbers up?
I was just going to go there, just try our best, and if we all worked harder, it's fine. We all tried our best and all that.
And you all worked very hard, didn't you? Because it got better as the morning went on. So it was a very early start. Can you remember the league matches?
So our first game was Sir Donald Bailey. I think it was like 2-3-0. Was it 2-3-0? 2-0. And yeah, we were happy with that score, and then we went on to play what was the team? I forgot the team name, but
come on, where's the help from the back? Who was the second team? Oh, Mr. Head, it was the second team.
I think it was Bishop Alexander.
Yeah, and we drew 0-0, and yeah, they were a very hard team. They had very quick players. And yeah, it was tough.
Okay, well, we'll carry on the league in a moment. We need to find out a little bit more about Finn. Now, Finn, you called yourself Finn. Is it just Finley when you've been naughty then?
I don't know.
What's Mum call you?
Finn.
She calls you Finn? That must mean that you're never naughty. No. Okay. She's shaking her head out there. Who's your favourite football team?
Man U.
And who's your favourite player then?
Either Lukaku or Jesse Lingard.
Oh, right, okay. Manu, make a note of that, Tony. Manu.
Okay.
Yeah,
it won't be along.
No, it won't be along, no. Do you play football for anybody else apart from the school?
Yeah, I play for Collingham.
You play for Collingham? They're doing well, that club, at the moment.
Yeah.
Is your team doing well?
On Saturday, we did lose 5-3. So, yeah. But we did win last year. We did win our league.
That's not so bad then, is it?
Yeah.
So, striker, fullback, centre half, what are you?
I'm a bit of a centre, mid and left wing.
You see, left wing's the best place to play, Tony. Are you left footed?
Yeah.
Yeah, I see.
And left handed.
And you're my new favourite. Left footed, left handed. He's only got one downside, Man United. But apart from that, he's my new favourite. Can you hit a football then with that left foot? And you hit it well. Mr. Head, is he good at with that left foot?
They're all brilliant, but yeah, he's really quick on the left, aren't you, Finn?
Mm-hmm.
Right, so, okay, so we found out all about Finn, so let's move on. We're going to do two now, then we're going to come back, we're going to talk athletics, and then do the other two. So who wants to go second? Come on then, Mr. Adidas. Right, your name is?
James.
James, okay. And James, tell us a bit about yourself.
I like to play football, and my other hobbies are hockey and tennis.
Hockey? Do you play for the hockey club at all?
No,
or?
Just like playing it.
Do you fancy, thought you might give it a try at some stage?
No.
Going to stick with football?
Yeah.
Going to stick with football? You like football?
Yeah.
Excellent. Do you play for anybody else apart from the school?
Yeah, Coddington Tigers.
Oh, right. And what sort of season are they having?
Okay season.
Okay season. And that means you're not winning every week then?
No.
It doesn't matter if you don't win every week. It really doesn't. What position do you play?
Striker.
A striker. And what's the goal tally for the season?
15 or 17 at the moment.
Already? He's a bit of a star, isn't he?
He is.
You're getting signed up for your lot. Go back to testing you then for Saturday morning. We've heard about the first two matches in the league. So are we going to go through a bit more of the league? Because you play so many league matches, and then that puts you into a semi-final. Okay, so let's, between you, help him a bit, boys, because you left Finn high and dry. Help him a bit, boys. You played two league matches. Who was your third league match?
Remember?
I think it was Lowswong B team.
Right, because Lowswong bought two teams. Lowswong missed ahead always. I mean, they got the pick of Southall, haven't they?
They have, yeah. I mean, they're really good for them because they have a lot of boys that play together on Saturday. They all play for Southwell United as well. So they're used to playing well as a team. But they're really well... their coach, Mr. Luke Meyer, is a fantastic coach. And actually, you can see that in the way they set themselves up. They're a great team.
Excellent. How did you go against the B team then?
We won 1-0.
Who scored?
Harry Horn.
Oh, it wasn't you then? Oh, no. Dear. Right.
Or it might have been Finlay.
No,
we lost.
No,
we
won.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, against Southwell.
Right, who was next in line then for the Coddington treatment?
It was Tutor Reed Fernwood School.
Now, you see, we have Mish Fath in here on a regular basis. Yes. So Mish Fath is not biased in any way, shape or form.
Absolutely not.
No, she wouldn't dream.
Having worked with Mish Fath for many years, I know she's absolutely...
Yes.
Completely unbiased.
Oh, completely.
But she does love her sport. She does love everything about Tutor Reed Sports.
Well, you see, are you a Newark person, Mr. Head?
I'm not originally, no. I moved to Newark.
Right. If you have a surname of Fell and you live in Newark, you have got one hell of a sporting tradition to hold up to. She has got fathers and brothers and cousins and little ones coming through that is just absolutely fantastic. And she keeps the tradition going. And a quick word for both herself and Mr. Webster.
They do a fantastic job with the sports association.
What a job.
I mean, they look the hard work.
But you played the Fernwood side. How did you get on against Fernwood?
We lost 1-0.
You lost 1-0. So at that stage then, James, what was you thinking? Are we going home early?
A bit, because we only won... we lost one, we drew one. And then we won 4.
Those leagues are always tight, aren't they?
They're very tight.
They're always tight. It's only about 7 minutes each way, Tony, and you don't get a lot of opportunities in 7 minutes each way, so you have to take them when you get them. So we're going to talk athletics in a couple of minutes. Okay. And then when we're going to come back, we're going to talk to the other two, including somebody who turned out to be a bit of a star when it come to penalty shootouts. Coddington lads are staying in the studio, but we're off to the Grove. There's not many more weeks going to say we're going to go to the Grove, and we're going to find Tilly, who's on her own again. Tilly, good evening.
Good evening.
You've been deserted once again.
I know, I've been left.
Pole vault training, I understand.
Yeah.
Where does Lauren go for pole vault training then?
She goes to Lincoln Wellington, but at the moment, because it's winter now, she goes to Netlam headquarters, which has like an indoor like gym and ropes and stuff, so they're doing like core and stuff in there, ready for summer again.
Right, so one half of the twins, and a quiet weekend, but you've got two stories for me.
Yeah, I've got two.
Fire away.
So, congratulations to Olivia Mathias, who ran in the under-23 European Champs. She had a cracking race and came third and got a bronze medal. It's an amazing result for her. And then our older sister, Amber, in America, she did the pre-national meet in Slippery Rock and she came 112th out of 300. She had a good start and then she just sadly died, but kept up and had a good finish. And she was 20th for her age group, so she had a good race.
How is our little superstar enjoying America?
Yeah, I think she's loving it. Yeah, she really likes it.
And the racing's obviously going well, but what about the schoolwork?
Because for the first year they've got to do general studies, so she's got to do maths and English again. She likes everything. She's just struggling with maths, but she can get a tutor and everything. So, and her roommate's really good at maths, so she's enjoying that part. And she's been going to I don't think they call it a primary school there, but she's been going to a primary school to do with her PE course she's doing next year, which she's really enjoying. She's been doing like sports with them, like netball and everything.
So it's not going to be one of those, I'm coming home at Christmas and not going back out there again. She can't wait to get back out there again.
Yeah, she'll be excited to go again, yeah.
A quiet week for everybody at Newark AC. Is it another quiet week coming up?
Yeah, there's no competitions this weekend. No, I don't think so.
Well, that's not good enough, is it?
No. The weekend after those, there's the cross-country relays, but...
It all seems to come together, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It does.
Uh-huh.
Well, well, hopefully next week you might be able to tell us when you're moving.
Yeah, hopefully.
So
hopefully soon as well.
That's your little job for the week, Tilly, to see if you can find out off Gareth if yet there is going to be a date of when you can talk to me from the Newark Leisure Centre site.
He's not here tonight, but I'll make sure, I'll see if he comes on Thursday and I'll make sure I'll ask him.
He's having a night off. They're all having a night off.
Yeah, I know.
You're there though. It's cold,
I'm there.
It's dark.
By myself.
By yourself. Yeah. Oh, dear. Get the violins out. Tilly, thank you very much. Go and do your training
you.
And we'll talk to you again very soon.
See you next week.
Bye. Half of the twins. Not half of the twins, and we've got a Mr. Head who's not a head because he's an assistant head. Oh, I'm totally confused. Let's go back and chat to Mr. Head again. The importance of sport in primary schools. We've had this conversation with Amy, and now when I was sitting behind the Boundary Sound Studios, and the government have withdrawn all the funding. And we got Kevin Evely, who was here at the time, and the Newark MP on, and we all got quite excited about this, and eventually, mainly thanks to all, the money came back, or part of the money came back, and primary school sports started to rise again. How important is it at Coddington School?
It's essential at any school, but it's something we do spend a lot of time and money putting in. We have dedicated coaches, so we have not only Mr. Evans, who you talked about earlier, as our sports coach, we have people come in, so we have a man called Gary West, who's an ex-footballer, comes in, does some coaching with the children, lots of different games, and we also have lots of work with the Forest Community Trust, come in and do work in school as well. So it's really important to us that we run lots of different clubs in school, not just football, but we have netball, we have things like American football that we run as well, just to give children as many different opportunities, as many different sports as they can. Just because we realise that getting active is a really good way of encouraging children to be the best they can be.
Have I found somebody who understands American football?
Not me, Mr. Okay, Simmons, no. Unfortunately. It's no, not me.
Well, Tony, you no, okay, we'll come. Well, okay, so you understand American football. Right, we've got one on the way. This is going to be an education, Tony, because it's completely beyond me, but quite a few things are before you actually say it. Not all children want to play football or netball. So do you open it up for the ones that want to play, shall we say, the minority sports?
Yes, I mean, it's we have a kind of thing at school where if children would like a club, they can ask us, and if we can, we'll put it on. We have all kinds of sports, so we've had children representing the school at Boccia, which is a multi-ability sport. So we'll open up to children with any kind of ability and any kind of interest. So we have tennis that we run and things like, you know, just lots and lots of different sports where children can explore their own interests. You know, we appreciate that not everyone likes football, though not quite sure why. But whatever they're interested in.
So, Mr. Head, who do you support?
I was hoping you weren't going to ask. I'm a Northampton fan, so Northampton Town, just because that's where I was born and bred. And they're not the best team in the world. Definitely not the best team in the world, but they're my team.
Youngsters nowadays, because of the power of television, don't do what you do.
No.
And I think that's, I'm not knocking them, but I think it's sad for the Northamptons of this world that
absolutely
people walking around Northampton in Manchester United and Chelsea and Arsenal and Liverpool shirts when they...
My lad, who's six, I mean, we've got him, you know, best way I can, brainwashed into being a Northampton fan. But he also has taken up with Spurs as well. So he's got a Premiership team and a lower league team.
Okay.
So that's kind of my compromise.
Okay, not sure why it has to be Tottenham, but...
don't ask me, nothing to me.
Okay, a few more headlines and then back to the boys. And opposition, which caused a £600 million sale of Wembley to collapse, is bizarre and led by old men, says ex-Football Association chairman Greg Dyke. English football's governing body said it would invest all the proceeds of the sale into improving grassroots facilities. Moving on. British number one Kyle Edmund sealed his maiden ATP title with a victory at the European Open in Antwerp. Edmund is now ranked number 15 in the world and the England and Wales Cricket Board have dismissed allegations of spot-fixing against England players made in a new television documentary. The investigation by Al Jazeera Network claims they have uncovered evidence of corruption at the highest levels of international cricket, including a small group of England players.
This is Radio Newark Sport.
Just before the boys, because we can't let him go without saying something on the subject, the opposition to the sale of Wembley collapsed. It's bizarre and is led by old men. Well, one of the old men that didn't like the idea can talk.
Well, anybody who goes to the Flow Surf game on Saturday against Burrowash Victoria should read the Just a Thought page, because I expand on my views on the sale of Wembley there quite lyrically.
And only one
man... And it's well worth a read.
And only one man, one man, can get a conversation which started on the £600 million sale of Wembley and in the next sentence ended up with Flow Surf against Burrowash Victoria.
Well, it's just a neat link, isn't it? I mean, it's the obvious...
It's the grassroots football...
segment.
It's the grassroots football where all this money was coming.
Well, there's more chance of it going to grassroots than there are people at Wembley, final getting a fair allocation of tickets, isn't there?
Have you read anything in your posh newspapers that you read about an investigation that has uncovered evidence of corruption at the highest levels, including a small group of England players?
In cricket?
Hmm.
Yes, indeed. It was a documentary on some foreign TV programme, probably ITV, and it's just basically it's supposition and guesswork at the minute, but I don't think there's any doubt that the corruption in cricket is any more different to drugs in cycling.
So it doesn't exist. Okay, that's brilliant. Right.
It's not exactly what I said, but yes, that's, we'll go with that one for the solicitors.
You can take that take on it. Did you ever think the £600 million sale of Wembley would find its way to grassroots, Mr. Head?
Not a chance.
No, you quite know.
As a Northampton fan, he says cobblers as well.
I mean, we're both well known for what we think of the Football Association, but no.
Not a chance.
Not a chance. They're not bothered about grassroots. They never have been, and they never will be. We are, and we're bothered about primary school sports as well. So, number three on our hit list of Coddington footballers takes us to a young man who... filled the goal, I think, is the best way of putting it. I wouldn't want to take a penalty against him because there wasn't many gaps. And having said that, he's just so tall. How tall are you? Oh,
five
dear.
Hang two. On.
How tall is he, Mum? 5 foot two. 5 foot 2. Right, OK. Sometimes you have to get help out there, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
Right, your name?
Leland.
And you're the goalkeeper. And
yep. Well, no, not really, but I got asked to step up for goalkeeper because our goalkeeper wasn't there.
You're not telling me that you're not a goalkeeper?
I am for Coddington Tigers.
I was going to say, some of those saves on Saturday, you play goalkeeper then for Coddington Tigers?
Yeah.
Do most of your life, I mean, we've got a Coddington there, but most of you play for the Tigers?
I think it's only me. Josiah, me, James Morgan. I think we're the only ones in the A team that play for Coddington Tigers.
Okay, we've got through the league. Let's finish the league now. We've got through the league, and the semi-finals came about, and I was waiting to see how Miss Fell managed to keep the two Tutor E teams apart. When she tells me it was nothing to do with her, it was all to do with Mr. Webster, and it was done correctly.
Absolutely.
And I believe her. I do, I believe her. Told her on the morning, 100% faith in her. But the two Tutor E teams was kept apart. Which Tutor E did you play?
We played Tutor E Bolton.
Bolton, which on paper was the harder of the two.
I mean, Tutor E Balderton, they should be the hardest, but I think Tutor E Firmwood, they were quite hard. So, like, no, what was it? Do you know that Tutor E, what?
Well, Firmwood beat, yeah.
They did. Yeah. Firmwood's very strong.
So the semi-final, tell me about the semi-final. Do you get nerves? I mean, you play football regularly on a Saturday, but there's a lot of people watching.
I got my first nerve when it was a corner and it was on the goal line. That's when I started to get nervous. But then I saw it that it wasn't going in, so I tried my best to keep it out, which I did, and then it came to a draw and we succeeded on penalties.
Right, now here's your big moment. Talk me through the penalties. And they can help you if they want to, or they can leave you high and dry, whichever way they want to do it, but talk me through the penalties.
Well, it was kind of tough, but we worked our way through it, and we had some good goal scorers. They had some good players what took some good penalties, but I think I'm too good, they just couldn't get past me.
Oh, did you see it?
Modest.
If you're gonna, well,
I mean, only being honest.
That's rule one of goalkeeping.
Absolutely.
You don't have modest goalkeepers. Rule one in goalkeeping. Rule two in goalkeeping, here's a tip for you, it's always the defence that makes a mistake. It's never the goalkeeper. So when a goal goes in, you blame the defence before they blame you. No, you can wave your arms about in the air, lads. That's what a goalkeeper should do. All right, Mr. Head?
Absolutely.
It's always the defence that's left the goalkeeper exposed, isn't it?
Never the goalkeeper.
It's never the goalkeeper that's at fault. So what football team does this goalkeeper support?
Sheffield Wednesday.
Oh, you see, that's not one. Why Sheffield Wednesday?
Well, when my new stepdad walked into my life, he was a Sheffield Wednesday supporter, and I just wanted to support the team of him because.
Oh, that's lovely, isn't it? Well done, young man. That's great. That's. No, I do like that. I really do. Have you been to Hillsborough?
Yeah.
Not a bad ground, as grounds go. It's all right. Right, excellent. So we now got ourselves to the final. The goalkeeper, of course, can't go wrong in a penalty shootout, can you? Because if you let them all in, okay, there's good penalties. If you save one, you're a hero. So you can't go wrong in a penalty shootout. Well, would you rather take a penalty or stand in the goal?
Stand in the goal. Well, when I saved my first penalty against Tutor with Balderton, all of Coddington was screaming yes at me, and then it just got me more nervous, but more like, oh, if they're screaming yes at me, I'm going to try and save most of them. And then that confidence builded up, and I saved about three of them or two.
I love some of the comments that was being made as the penalties come in. Tony, you know, like, don't take this one like you took the last one. Try and place this one. And then the best one of the lot was, it don't matter if you miss again, we'll still be your friends. That's brilliant. But isn't that what it's all about?
Well, that's what it should be about. But it's Sheffield Wednesday have had some fine goalkeepers down the years, you know. So that's not too bad at all. But
name one.
Martin Hodge. This is going back thousands of years.
Ron
Springer.
There you go.
But
I can see.
And young Pressman. Went on
Kevin
to
Pressman.
Kevin Pressman, yeah. went on to England duties.
Okay, so we've
and when I was at Sheffield Wednesday as a young reporter, Kevin Pressman's dad used to give me a cup of Bovril behind the goal on a cold day.
Surprised it wasn't Kevin Pressman's granddad. One player to go, and he's got the dubious honour of talking about the final. So who have we got?
Morgan.
You got Morgan. What are you doing? Morgan, it's him.
I'm just in the microphone.
Dear. We're finished now, have we?
We've got squeaky props.
Oh, dear. And that's only Tony.
A bit like South Rugby Club.
Sorry, Morgan. I have to put up with this every week. I really do. So, Morgan, let's talk about Morgan first. Tell me a bit about yourself.
I play for Coddington Tigers. And I play lots of other sports as well.
Okay, what else do you play?
I play tennis.
Who do you play? Do you play tennis for a club or?
Yeah, I play for Cornton.
Oh, right, you're Cornton. Oh, we've had Cornton Tennis Club in here, haven't we? Yeah, they've been to talk to us. Lovely facilities out there. That's excellent. Favourite football team?
I don't have one.
Good lad, that's okay. You may as well. Position, though? Fullback? Centre forward?
Defender.
You're a defender. So it's your fault when he lets in a goal?
No, I fully blame it on Leland.
Good lad. That's what you call team spirit, Tony. Tell me about the final.
Well, I think it was really tight, and me and James at the back had to put in all our effort to stop them scoring, and I just had to watch for the penalties.
You didn't take one?
No, I didn't take one.
Did you two take one? Okay.
The way I scored both of mine.
Okay, the way they're jumping up and down, they obviously scored, yes. You scored? You scored one out of two, and you scored two. Okay, good lads. Did you sort of on the penalties then? You do what I would do and say, your turn.
I just watched every single one.
You've done your job, hadn't you? You'd kept a clean sheet. Because it was 0-0, wasn't it?
Yeah, 0-0.
So you've done your job. You and Leland done your jobs. So it's up to the others to score the goals. How disappointed when you lost on a penalty shootout? I mean, how does it affect you?
Well, it's quite annoying how you're so close to victory, but you just can't get it. But I think we still did amazing to get as far as we did. I think we all deserve these silver medals.
I think you do as well. Do you all want to play football, carry on playing football?
Yep.
Yeah?
Yep.
You do. And is this all your last year at Coddington?
Yep.
So do you know, it's a bit early, not even at Christmas, do you know where you're hoping to go next summer?
Or as in the school?
As in the school, yes.
Hopefully Kings.
Kings and?
Newark Academy.
Cars. Tuxford.
Well, that's near Sheffield. You're not doing bad. So that's Mr. Head, you're going to lose them all to very good sporting schools.
We have. I'm sure they'll go on and do great things, and then hopefully the next batch will come through and do equally as well. So,
and I do hope you all got cheered a little bit on assembly on Monday morning.
We did, and be cheering again on Friday. So it'll be a good chance to celebrate, won't it?
Right, let's just see if you're on your toes now. So, in my book, that makes you the best primary schools football team in the Newark area, because South was just a little bit off the Newark. So, in Newark, who's the best primary schools football team?
Coddington!
Rubbish. Who's the best primary schools football team?
Coddington!
Brilliant. Well done, boys. That's the boys of Coddington. And still to come tonight, we've got Graham Walsh and all the Stride News boys. Stay in the studio. Don't go away. Tony, we must talk sports awards.
Mm.
If you haven't put your nomination in for any one of the awards, you're losing out on it, because at the end of October, it's gone. Cut off last day in October. So get on with it. I know a lot of you have already put the nominations in for your favourites. I'd be remiss of me to name names, but we've got the sportsperson. We know this name's gone in for that. The junior sportsperson. And the junior sportsperson, Tony, is so important because it's taken on so much more importance.
Yeah, since it became the Rick Lane Award, it's all the more special, especially to us guys, you know, obviously, that knew him so well. And also, of course, the Sam White's award is again all the more special because of the death of Mike's wife, Sam's mum.
Exactly.
A couple of days ago, so it's going to be a very emotional first week in December.
We've got the senior team. We've got the junior team. I wonder if Mr. Head's put the Coddington Primary School football team in for it, because who's the best young football team in Newark?
Coddington!
Yes! See, even if they can't do it all together, they are the best. We've got the club of the year. We've got the coach of the year.
Have we got the sports show of the year?
Oh, we won that.
That's got to be last week's, hasn't it? Mick asking the question, and what position do you play in? And the lady answered, I'm in therapy.
So are we, dear, so are we. Senior disabled, junior disabled, the volunteer of the year. The Sam White Junior Volunteer of the Year, and as Tony's already said to you, that's another one that's taken on that extra little special. And we've got the Roll of Honour, of course, for the people that's put a lifetime into Newark Sport, and I think there's 13 of them at the moment on that Roll of Honour, which has got me thinking, because the councillor that was there last year promised a board at the leisure centre. Can somebody let me know, please, if there is a board up at the leisure centre with those names on it? Because on here, he promised one, didn't he?
It is.
So I want to know, at the leisure centre, has that board gone up? Because that question is going to be asked, because these people need their name in glory.
Mr. Jackson, you've got 2 months.
Mr. Jackson, you've got 2 weeks. So we need to get that sorted out. Coming up next, all the Newark Striders news with the one and only Graham Welsh. The youngsters of Corrington have gone off, would you believe it, to play football. We are now going to talk to Graham Welsh, or the Newark Striders news, every Tuesday night at 7:45. Graham, a busy weekend for one or two individuals who really do deserve a mention.
They certainly do, and I'll tell you about them in a moment. But first of all, I'm gonna right a wrong. Last week I told you about just about every single member of the club. We had 10 marathons and all the half marathons and everything. And I forgot to mention one special person, and I'm going to set that right now. And so well done to Jackie Jackson for the Palmerton Lorca half marathon, 2 hours and 23 from last week. I'm sorry for missing you out. It was a really good run. Back to this week, though, we heard all about the Dave Lewis Challenge last week on Tuesday's show, and one of the Striders took it on Saturday. Not content to do the 11-mile version, he had to take on the 27-mile version, so well done to Nick Harrison, who did the Dave Lewis Challenge on Saturday. I think he had a bit of adventure on the way around. He had a few encounters with low branches bumping his head, and the map reading went a little bit astray. It's difficult to read a map when you're running along, so he took a couple of wrong turnings. He came across a bull in a field, I think, and an electric fence, so he had a good old adventure on the way around. So well done to Nick for doing the Dave Lewis Challenge, and he's got the certificate to prove it. Also on Saturday, it was a really tough race for Ben Barnard. He was up at Castleton doing the Peak District Cancer Research UK Tough 10K, and pretty tough it was too. He got round in 1 hour and 5 seconds and came 25th out of 322 starters. A really tough course, that. It's basically mountaineering in the form of running, I think. And so well done, Ben. Really good run there. On to Sunday, and we had quite a few Striders in sort of 10K action, and a good number of those were up at Thoresby, taking part in the Thoresby 10K. So Philippa Clark and Stacey Atkins, they were the first two Striders across the finishing line, 1 hour, 2 minutes and 5 seconds. Rob Wilkinson next. Then we had Bernie Duval and Heather Green. They ran around together in 1 hour and 14 minutes. And following them in were Andrea Leach-Smith, who took a tumble but picked herself up and finished the race in 1 hour, 16 minutes and 14 seconds. And again, well done to Sarah Stewart and Emma Ashwin, 1 hour 16 and 1 hour 20 minutes. In other 10K news, we had up at Clumber Park, Leslie Butlin, Andy Sears and Hannah Thompson all took part in the Trust 10K event up at Clumber Park there, and had good runs too. A bit further north, onto the Yorkshire coast, up to Scarborough for the Yorkshire Coast 10K, and Stephen Tomlinson, 52 minutes 50 and 47 seconds. A good run there from Tomo, and Matt Patterson. He had, did 58 minutes and 48 seconds. So again, another really good run for Matt. And back to Thoresby briefly for the 5K event there. And Nick Harrison, yep, the same Nick Harrison who did the 27-mile Dave Lewis Challenge the day before. He did the 5K event at Thoresby, and he did that in 39 minutes or so. So a really busy weekend for Nick and a really busy weekend for Striders. And coming up this weekend, I think the main club racing is going to be up at Worksop. The Worksop Half Marathon this Sunday. And it's a really sort of popular event. I'll be running in it. And, yeah, quite a big turnout of Striders expected there. Quite a hilly course for the first half or so, but then it levels off. And the final mile or so is downhill, which, when you're pretty puffed out, is a welcome little bit to downhill. Also on the Striders calendar is the Beaver clocks back race 10k up at Harby, and be a few people up there, I think. But so the main club outing will be to Worksop this weekend, and we're hoping for some nice weather and all looking forward to that.
Well, it's forecast it cold, but it is forecast it dry, so we'll see. Well, I want to take you right back to the beginning, and Ben Bernard, of course. I've known Ben a long time. He used to play football for teams I was involved with, and he was always one of those footballers that could run for 90 minutes. And he's, since his footballing days have gone, he's taken on running, and it would seem that he's very good at it.
He's pretty swift. He sort of tends to do 10K in just under 45 minutes generally, so it just shows how tough that event was that he did at the weekend. So Ben went around in an hour, and which was quick enough to beat 300 other people who were taking part in the race. And he's a really strong runner, pretty quick guy, a very pleasant chap as well. So, yeah, really good race for him on Saturday. And, he was also pretty quick at Equinox. We were at Equinox last month, and Ben was flying around there in 46 minutes or so doing the 10Ks in the Equinox. So, yeah, he's running really well at the moment.
And I was so pleased that both yourselves and Notfast had as a representative at the Dave Lewis Challenge. We've got Rob Ellis coming on tomorrow night to tell us all about it, but it's no secret that it was the best ever Dave Lewis Challenge, and over £800 was raised for charity. But it's a race that's different to anything else on the calendar. So Nick did the 27 mile version. Did he I'll probably enjoy it, it's the wrong word, but what was his thoughts?
I haven't actually spoken to him since, but in the modern ways of the world, I've seen that he enjoyed it. It was a bit of an adventure. I think it's probably the first time he's done that sort of thing, where you've got to try and read a map and get yourself round as well. So he probably took a couple of wrong turn-ins here and there. And I think, according to himself, he did about 27 and a half miles. And so he went up the wrong direction once or twice. But, yeah, he found it a thoroughly enjoyable challenge. And, it's certainly an experience of a lifetime, I think.
But, you know, it's when they come home and tell you about stories about ditches, low branches, a bull and an electric fence, it's, you know, they've had a cracking day out.
That's right, yeah. Yeah, there's enough adventures for one day there.
I think so, yes. Running at Worksop will be hopefully a little simpler. There won't be any bulls or electric fences.
Yeah.
Graham, thank you so much. We'll talk to you again next week, when I've got no doubt you're going to have a lot to report about.
Plenty, I think.
Thank you very much.
Bye now.
Thanks, Graham. And that's Graham Walsh there with all the Striders news. And Rob's going to join us tomorrow night, Tony, because it was an absolute cracking day and the best ever Dave Lewis Challenge. And Reese was there, which was nice.
Yeah, that was lovely. I mean, it was missed in the heart of the flow serve defence, but, you know, it's...
If you're going to have one day off, that was the day.
I think if he's going to have one day off, he's there to support the memory of his dad, because that was a very sad day in Newark Sports, and it's great to see that it's obviously going from strength to strength, if it was the best ever.
Well, it was the best ever. I mean, you know, the Gordon Well 1 week is running away, and now this is the best ever. It's probably coincidence that they both come on this radio show before. I don't know. As did the girls rugby.
Well, I was going to say, did the rugby girls know harm whatsoever?
There you go. It's probably a coincidence. Some will say it isn't. Some will say it is.
Yeah, but I mean, if
form your own opinion.
If a rugby team come on the show with four playing members and appeal for more to join them and end up as internationals, I think it can only be the influence of Radio Newark Sport, surely, to God.
Exactly. We just don't know how powerful we are, Mr. Smith, do we? I love it when the primary school kids come in, youngsters like that, because they are what we're sitting here for
talking about the future of Newark Sport. They are the future of Newark Sport.
Yeah, my favourite was the defender. Said totally blamed it on the keeper.
Yeah, straight away.
But yes, you know, it's a very difficult thing for young people to come into a studio and talk about the sport that they love. But clearly, you know, the sort of the love of the sport comes over. And, you know, after a few faltering sort of comments in front of the microphone, then they quickly kick into it and it just comes across as, you know, the sheer joy of the sport.
They take to it a lot better than me and you ever will.
Well, yeah, I mean, I just love the idea that they come in here and say the piece and then they're off to play the sport.
Yeah.
You know, it's fantastic.
It's what it's all about. It really is. I'm looking forward to tomorrow night because we're going a little different tomorrow night. Luke O'Reilly's coming in to talk to us about nutrition, nutritious food. Luke, of course,
is that
without
night, is it?
Without an advert, because we don't do that, without an advert for his company, everybody knows who Luke O'Reilly is and what the company is. We are talking, in mine and Tony's day, you used to turn up to the football match, you're still eating your fish and chips. Mm. It's changed somewhat since then, and I want to find out why it's changed. And has it changed for the better? And do people feel better for these wonderful meals that he is producing for them?
Well, it's changed since the days of Alf Tupper, hasn't it? You know, I mean, Tough of the Track.
Which is our era.
You know, like sort of fish and chip supper twice, Mrs. Luigi. I've got the 1800 metres tomorrow. You know, it's just, you know, it's changed a bit. But I think if we're going to be talking about sports nutrition, I think that might be a very good night for me to wash my hair, don't you?
Well, yes, I have put in the headlines that you're quite likely to be an innocent bystander to all this. But
like I'm going to sleep tomorrow night.
But it has taken on an importance with your football team, with the Bolton Cricketers, with Chad Sugden, with Lincoln City. So what he's producing, he must be producing something, right?
There is a piece in the...
Because they're all successful.
I'm going back to the programme on Saturday again, Mick.
I wonder who wrote that.
We've got the first page of Captain Cully's Corner, James Cullingworth, the Flow Surf captain, and he said, my eyes have been opened as to nutrition and pre-match meals. Jam sandwich, packet of hula hoops and a strawberry frub. Step forward, Jamiloid.
Yes, we'll see what Luke thinks tomorrow night about Jammy and his pre-match.
I'm certainly going to empty my duffel coat pockets of 12 of its Mars bars, you know, just to impress a lad.
So that's tomorrow night. Luke's coming in tomorrow night and having a chat to us. We're also going to talk to Not Fast Graham. And as I said earlier on, we're going to catch up with Dave Ellis, Rob Ellis, who's going to tell us about the Dave Lewis. I get there in the end. You see that? This is why them kids were so good.
Yeah, they knew what they were doing.
Thursday night, not to be missed. For the 39th consecutive season, Andrew Hind is refereeing.
Yeah.
He's got to be a comment, come on.
He's due a good one.
He's due a good one. Well, he's coming in on Thursday night to talk all things refereeing, and we're also going to have a David Coote update from him as well.
All right.
So we look forward to that. But for now, I'm going to leave you in the more than capable hands. Well, anything's got to be better than us two.
Nothing to beat against,
and
Stuart.
And it's the Blue Show with Stuart.